This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
So all of this talk of dying and rising to life again begs the question, is there anything within you that needs to be resuscitated? Anything within you that needs to be revived? Anything within you that needs renewal and hope, new life? I have three brief stories that hopefully will depict this message. The first is one that happened down in the Dominican Republic when we were there on our mission trip week before last. And we were doing our photo project that I think I've explained to most of you. We take photographs of the children, and while they're waiting for the photos to print out, photographs that they probably, you know, are seeing for the first time or not since last year, since they don't have photographs of themselves. While they're waiting, they decorate frames. And so we sit with them, and they have stickers, and they have all kinds of things that are, you know, just such a novelty for them and so wonderful. It was toward the end of the day, and we were all really tired. It had been kind of a chaotic day because they changed the schedule on us, and we had to rearrange things, and we were all ready to pack it up for the day. And there was one little girl that was there toward the end of the day, and she was probably about 11 or 12, and she was my height. And she came in with a real attitude, and she was selfish, and she was mean, and she kept grabbing things from the other kids, and I'd had it. And I got on my mom voice, and I said, no, I don't speak Spanish, but she got that. And I said it again, because she kind of looked at me like, who do you think you are? And I said it firmly enough that she did sit down. And then I went over, and I sat down across from her, and I helped her with the decorations. But something bothered me. Not that I reprimanded her, because she needed that, but there was something that was just bugging me, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. Well, on the way home, I was talking to Father Jean Beniste, who went with us, who's the Haitian priest from Holy Redeemer, and he said that that little girl was Haitian. There are a lot of Haitians that also live in the Dominican Republic, but there is great racial animosity between the two. And in this little village of Gautier, the Haitians have to live on the outskirts. And they're even trying to pass a law that says all the Haitians have to go back to Haiti. So prejudice and racism is everywhere. And I hadn't considered that, nor did I consider that this little girl had probably had to fight for every single thing she had ever had in her life. She may not even have parents. She may not even have a home, as many of them don't in this little village where we went. And when I got back that night, we have a circle in the morning and at night, so we share what's gone on with us during the day. And during that night on the circle, I remember starting to tell that story, that was my God moment, realizing that I needed to renew my perspective on this little girl. And I couldn't speak. I don't know if you've ever been there in a group of people and you start talking about something and you get all choked up and you have to wait. And the group waited for me to compose myself so I wouldn't just be sitting there sobbing. And when I could finally speak, I relayed to them how I needed to change my point of view with her. I still would have reprimanded her, but my thinking would have been very different and not judgmental. And that tiny little tweaking of our perspective in life can change a lot. Can change a lot. What in you needs to be renewed or refreshed or reborn? Second story. Young man was in prison, having gone there for possession of drugs, and there was a gun in the car, and he was fortunate to only get 3 years. And he came out after 2.5 years, and during his time in prison, he was rejuvenated. He took a look at his life and realized what he had lost and what he was missing. And when he came out of prison and walked out of that door, he wept. He wept. with the realization of his own need to be rejuvenated, resuscitated, to realize the life that he'd been given. That was quite a while ago now, and he's doing really well, reunited with his family and clean and sober. What in you needs to be renewed? There was the third story. I've told this before, but I have to tell it again, of the little girl who lived next door to an elderly couple who had been married for 50 years, and they had all been friendly, and the wife dies, and the old man is bereft, and after about 2 weeks after her death, this little girl and her mom were remarking that they hadn't seen him around much, and they were worried about him, and neighbors would put food at the door, and they knew that he was coming out and getting it, so they knew that he was at least alive, but they were still worried about him. And so one day when she came home from school with her mom, and they pulled in the driveway, they saw the old man on his front porch rocking in his rocking chair. Well, she got out of the car. She was only about five, got out of the car, ran next door, climbed up in the old man's lap, and just sat there. And the mom just let her be, kind of did her thing, went inside, came back out. And when the little girl came home not too long after that, the mom said, "What happened? How is he?" She said, "Oh, I just helped him cry." And she said it with joy. "I just helped him cry." What these three stories have in common is the need for us to acknowledge our empty places. Those of you that are attending our Wednesday night Lenten series, there was a quote by Frederick Buechner, and I didn't write it down, but it has to do with being willing to be open to the empty places within ourselves so that the divine can come through. When we realize we are dependent on something so much greater than ourselves, when we're willing to shed our false selves and come into who we really are as children of God. There's a story that we read at the other services from the book of Ezekiel, and it's a story that maybe you've heard before. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he had a vision, and it was a vision of a valley of dry bones. And in the vision, the Lord says to him, "Mortal, prophesy to those bones. Tell them to come back to life." And so Ezekiel does. And cartilage starts forming. They call it sinews in the Bible text. And the bodies start coming together, but they had no breath. And so then the Lord says, "Prophesy to those bones and give them ruha," which is Holy Spirit, really. It's the same root as breath. And so Ezekiel does, and they come back to life. And it represents the hopelessness of the Israelite people at the time who were in exile. And notice that God, the Lord, is having Ezekiel be the one to prophesy to those bones, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come coursing through to revive them. Well, today's gospel finds Jesus bringing forth life anew. He had been in hiding because he was in fear for his own life. They had been trying to stone him. He barely risked being stoned to death just before this. They had caught him healing on the Sabbath, hanging out with outcasts and women, and they were out to get him. The bottom line is that the authorities were really afraid of getting in trouble with the Roman authorities. Because if there was any unrest, if there was this upheaval and this revolution of the people that were following Jesus, they would all be in trouble. And so Jesus was in hiding. But when he hears of Lazarus' death, the sisters, Mary and Martha, having to be grieving, he knew that. He didn't care about his own life in that moment. And he had to go to Judea. He had to go to Bethany to visit them. And so he does, and the sisters are saying, "Why didn't you come? Why weren't you here? Lazarus wouldn't have died." Isn't that what we all do? Where were you, God, in the midst of our tragedy or our pain? Where are you, God? And yet Jesus came. Jesus came, and he said, he will live again. And he went to Lazarus and he called him forth. But no, Jesus, before that, when he went there and he saw how upset they were and he saw them crying, he wept. He wept. And he was greatly moved when they were walking to the tomb, and I have a feeling that he was probably still crying with all of them, trying to comfort them. So he had to acknowledge his own humanity, his own vulnerability, and then the divine comes coursing through. And that's the message for today. What in you needs to be renewed, rejuvenated? We got to be willing to get honest with that and say, okay, God, show me. And then allow God to do God's thing. It takes courage. What in you needs to be revived? Let us pray. Dearest Lord Christ, help us believe in the power of your life and love. Renew us, revive us. Take our cynicism and despair and renew hope and possibility. Take our condemnation and struggles and renew encouragement and strength. Take our fear and pride and bring back to life humility and love. Help us admit what needs reviving in our own lives and give us the courage to welcome your transforming power. Amen.